Before we come to outline two, I want to share something that has been part of our has been part of our history, at least from the 1960s. And I hope that it will not be continuing from this point on. I'll explain to you that there is, among the many books by Brother Lee, there's one called simply The Experience of Life. And there are four stages. And the four stages are these. The first stage is when we are regenerated and just deal with the past. Then the second stage includes consecration, then dealing with sin, dealing with the world, having the Lord train us in our consciousness. And at the end of that second stage, so many saints have peace. They know how to deal with the world, how to deal with sin, how to keep their state of being peaceful. But there are two other stages. And a large number from my generation stopped at the end of the second stage. The fourth stage is the stage of knowing the body and being in the reality of the body. And that includes being on the throne, ascended with the Lord, and being engaged in spiritual warfare. But the third stage, so many, for what reason, I don't know. They never paid much attention to the third stage. And the third stage concerns with these three important experiences. One is, because this involves the cross, that the cross will deal with my flesh. I need to have the experience of this taking place. And then dealing with myself. Then after that, dealing with my natural constitution. Because these three elements limit our inward realization concerning the kind of life we have. Deep within, there's the thought, I have eternal life, from John 3:16. I know I'm saved, but very few, if any, have any realization. I have a body, I have a life, rather, that is a corporate life. I'm a member of the body. And so, dear saints, they passed away, still at the end of the second stage. And I just look to the Lord that this will not be repeated. So we need to know what is this third stage. And several years ago, when we began to have in Boston a 1 year of training for those who finished the first 2 years, but they want to have a particular kind of training, especially for the preaching of the gospel. And so I was asked, what would be the class, especially for the fall term? And I said, there needs to be a class helping the dear brothers and sisters to realize there's the third stage. And so let's walk through every aspect of this third stage to save you at least 10 or 15 years. You'll realize you are, when you graduated from the full-time training, you are entering into the third stage. But there is no one guiding you, enlightening you, shepherding you, encouraging you, then you'll repeat what the previous generation did. We just stayed where we were in the second stage. But those that are responding to this, and they're an open vessel, that is the main requirement from God's point of view. Just come to me as an open vessel, that I may dispense myself into you and work myself into you and make my home in your heart, that you may grow in life to maturity. Because now, I like mentioning this, get ready to find out something amazing. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, get ready, is after chapter 3. In chapter 4, you are in the reality of the body and of the one new man. But that is the result of what is taking place in the third chapter. We're being strengthened in our inner man, and Christ is making his home in our heart. So now back to this book that I mentioned, that there needs to be a way of guiding the seeking saints through the third stage. And once we pass through this, when the flesh, the self, and the natural constitution are thoroughly dealt with, then just almost in a surprising way, it just dawns on you, I'm in the body. I'm a member of the body. I can't live without the body. Then body consciousness comes forth, because the things that have been blocking it, hindering it, have been removed. And so if you have the time, you may want to read that portion of the book, or at least just get through the outlines, just to see. And then come to the Lord just as you are, because he knows. Are you still in the second stage, nearing the end? Or would he be saying, I've been waiting for several years to shepherd you in the third stage, and now just let me, with loving concern, just guide you and shepherd you through all of these stages. And each one of us will have particular experiences, because this is not doctrine. This is inward realization. But when all the barriers are removed, then we realize the eternal life that I received, that I thought was just my assurance that I'll be living forever and ever, to realize this is not just only that. This is the life of the body. And now I realize I know myself in a proper way. I'm not only a believer, I'm not only a child of God. Those are accurate, but they're independent. But then when it dawns on you, I'm a member of the body. And there's two aspects of this. One is, I cannot live. I cannot go on. I cannot endure apart from the body. And also, the Lord will indicate the body goes on much better with you than without you. That if I didn't have my two thumbs and my two big toes on my flat feet, somehow I could still hold on to things and walk, maybe in a goofy way, but I'm still alive. But you realize even these little parts of the body, there's a difference when they're not there. What the Lord has just been waiting for is to have a normal, organic body of Christ. Then now, the door is open for him to fully accomplish his heart's desire in this age. Because based upon our becoming the reality of the body, simultaneously, the one new man mentioned in Ephesians 4 is manifested. But then the final goal is in chapter 5, the wife, the bride. And I repeat again, because it's so delightful, in Revelation 19, rejoice. The bride has made herself ready. Why not that the Lord will be able to say this in our generation? That even within the next several years, the Lord will realize that now I can adjust the world situation because my bride has been making herself ready. So now I need to arrange the situation, especially in Europe. Because once she is raptured, there's going to be the most difficult time in all history in this part of the earth. And so this is in the Lord's heart, that we would become part of his corporate expression. That deep within, we just have this yearning that the Lord would come, but also with the realization, as I mentioned last night, coming for what? But it will be a momentous time when the Lord can declare to all the evil powers in the universe, watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to rapture my bride. And 3.5 years from now, she will be my bridal army. And we are descending to the earth at Armageddon and deal with Satan and every negative thing on the earth and establish the kingdom of God on the earth. Amen. Surely this is on the Lord's heart for here and now. Don't you want to be part of that? Amen. No matter what your age may be, even the dear young people, say someone here 15 years old, And if they say, Lord, why not wait? Like my parents, can I grow up and graduate from university and get married and have children? Eventually, there'll be some that will say, Lord, more than anything else, is I want you to come back. So make me rapture ready, even at 15 years old. And there will be some that many, many years ago, one of our young brothers, just 12 years old, he was just crossing the street on his bicycle, and a car crashed into him and killed him. And I wasn't at the burial, but one of my sons was there, and they read from some of his personal writing. He was only 12 years old, but the personal relationship he had with the Lord was marvelous. And what happened? I just knew this family and all the children. I just cried out to the father, the brother, please don't abandon. Please don't. But what happened was, there were 5 children, 2 adults. This one young boy was the only overcoming saint in that family. And so we just look forward to it that no matter what our human age will be, we're nearing the end of this age. And when the Lord sees that the bride has made herself ready, he will come in a secret way and raptured her. And I believe all over the earth, the saints will be asking one another, where's so-and-so? I don't know. But where is this one? I don't know. Then you find out they're gone all over the earth. Then you realize they've been raptured. You just look at Matthew 24. 2 men in the field. One is taken, the other left. 2 women grinding, one taken, the other left. I wondered about this very much. But as I was reading and studying 1 John in chapter 2, verse 29, the main thought was this, that when the Lord comes to rapture us, this is the thought, we don't want to be embarrassed that when he comes, we are not abiding in him. And so the 2 men in the field, they're both believers, but the Lord came while they're doing their ordinary living, their daily work. But one of the 2 brothers was, while he was working physically, was inwardly abiding. And the same with the woman. And so all of us want to have this daily living. In order for this to take place, again, it may appear to be just Bible study, but the Bible study is there for our experience from me. In chapter 4, we're told that this is in Hebrews, that come forward to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace in the time of need. And so, putting this together with the third stage, on the one hand, we need to be going through that third stage so that while we are here, we are being led by the Lord into the reality of the body. At the same time, we are learning to live in the mingled spirit so that whenever the Lord comes in a secret way, we will be ready. And maybe we won't meet each other on Barlow, but wouldn't it be wonderful if we meet one another at the throne? Amen. Okay, so let's come to the outline now. The consciousness of the body. According to the teaching of the Bible and our spiritual experience, there is something called the consciousness of the body of Christ. And I want to read these two verses from 1 Corinthians 12, 26 and 27. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is glorified, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. I believe a number of us here have had a kind of mysterious experience. It's just during your daily living, and somehow a sense of suffering is just coming forth within you. From where? You don't know. And then if you're an open vessel, you turn to the Lord, and the Lord is indicating it's not your pain, it's not your suffering, it's the suffering of a member of the body. You may not know who, you may not know where, but this is a function of body consciousness. There's a member suffering, and I join this member. So if the member suffers, here it says all the members suffer. This is an indicator of body consciousness. It's not that, oh, I know what the body is and I realize I'm a member of the body. But like I told you, when I dropped a heavy item on my big toe, the whole body had a feeling about it. Actually, more feeling than the toe itself. And so, when we are in the reality of the body, one member suffers, we suffer with it. Whether we personally are suffering, if we're not a member of the body, it'll just be information. And you'll say, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but there's no inner feeling. But if we're in the reality of the body, you realize that suffering is mine. And also, one is glorified, and other members rejoice with it. But rather, the self is exposed, so we can apply the cross to it. If the immediate response is, why would this one be glorified? And I never have an opportunity. Or why do their kids, why are they getting all this and mine? they're in a very different kind of situation. This is just an indicator of where we are. Because body consciousness is not a doctrine. It's an inward, deep realization of what is taking place in members of the body. So with that set before us, we can continue A and B under one. As members of the body of Christ, we need to have the consciousness of the body and a feeling for the body. There you have the same verse again. A feeling. We may not first know what the feeling is, but brothers, we need to pay attention to all the inner feelings that we have. We shouldn't press them down. We need to pay attention to them. And then ask the Lord, Lord, what is the source of this feeling, of this concern, of this consciousness? And then there'll be some Lord indication. There's a member of the body that needs you to pray right now. Right now. That way back in 19, when maybe 78, maybe later than that, Brother Lee got quite ill. And he had to stop giving the messages during this training. And then several weeks later, when he had been recovered, and he was just meeting with us, and he shared, well, I was there in my suffering situation. The Lord told me, pray to be prayed for. He knew that's how he lived. And also, the Lord knew, sorry to say, the many saints, they may would like to know what's happening, but not much feeling, not much participating in the suffering. And so the Lord had to tell him this, pray to be prayed for. Dear saints, may the Lord not have to say this again. Rather, there'll be this just response. We realize something, and we're not just doing what we're supposed to do. There's an inward feeling. There's a deep concern. That's the feeling. And we don't have to know who or where, but to be able to bring this to the Lord. And then the suffering saint may not realize, why is life flowing? It's not just life, it's the power of the resurrection life. It's flowing, it's defeating the situation. The situation hasn't changed, but my inner being is being strengthened because someone has been praying. This is an aspect of body consciousness. Amen. In order to live the body life, we need to be conscious of the body of Christ. The next section. The consciousness of the body is the sense of Christ's life within us. So let's put together these words consciousness, and sense. The sense of Christ's life within us. And again, this isn't a training. Otherwise, I would ask, would there be seven sisters that would just stand up where you are and just share with us your having the sense of Christ's life in a certain situation? You realize this is my own feeling. This is a sense. And it's not a sense of my natural human life. It's the sense of Christ's life within me. And if we have this sense, then we want to inquire in this way, Lord, what is in your heart? What are you leading me to say or do or be? But I sense your life within me. And so we need to have this experience of the separating the soul and the spirit. I began to refer to that in Hebrews 12. So we can discern, is this sense from the spirit, or is just it is sense from my natural life? The mystical body of Christ. What's mystical? Here it means something that is unusual. It's from another realm. It's beyond our physical grasps and understanding. So the body of Christ is mystical. It's not visible. It's not physical. But it's real. It is formed by Christ as life in each of us, mingled with us. So Christ has life right now and right here. He wants his life to be mingled with us. This is divine and human together. If we are still living in our own life, we cannot know this life that mingles with us to form the body of Christ. So this should capture our attention at least a little if we are still living in our own life. So just look back on this month, nearing the end of the month. To what extent were we living in our own life? And I hope that more and more we could say, Ron, I'm in the process. I just thank the Lord for his shepherding, that I admit I'm still living in my own life, but the Lord is increasing. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm encouraged that I'm beginning to live more, not in my own life. Otherwise, we cannot know the life mingled with us to form the body. The body, the Bible, and our experience prove that although each one of us is a member of the body of Christ, the life in each one of us is not a member life, but a body life. In other words, the divine life within you at this moment is the body life. You're a member of the body. And more, the Lord will enable us to discern the difference between our own natural human life and the body life. Don't worry about it. Don't try to figure it out. Just say, Lord, do whatever you need to do that I can know the difference between my life and the body life. In the body of Christ, when one member is joined to the body or is having fellowship with the body, his life is the life of the body, and the life of the body is his life. Let's focus on this. Okay, in the body of Christ, when one member is joined to the body or is having fellowship with the body, his life is the life of the body, and the life of the body is his life. And 1 John 1:1-3, I can't quote exactly, John is writing saying that that we have received his life. I'm sharing this with you, that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. So I just pause here again to ask in a gentle way, okay, that I hope would encourage you. To what extent do you have fellowship with the Father? With the Father. That on the day that Christ was resurrected, and that one dear woman, that she wasn't satisfied with seeing the empty tomb like the two brothers did. She wanted to see him. She said, I'm going to carry him away and bury him. It doesn't make sense on one level, but the depth of her loving concern is honorable. And then the Lord made himself known. And he said, don't touch me yet. I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And while I'm speaking along this line, it just comes up to me in a tender way, one time after another. We're all familiar with Romans chapter 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God. Doesn't say those who love the Lord. Doesn't say those who love Christ. Doesn't even say those who love the Father. But those who love God. And the Lord said, I'm ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Because when the Father is functioning, then we have a particular endearing fellowship with him. But when God is functioning as God, there may be no explanation. And it's quite a challenge that I love God, not only the Father. And all of us, We don't need to share in the meeting. We've had this kind of experience that certain things took place that we realized the source is either God is the source or God allowed this to happen. Why, I don't know. But not at the time. But I didn't know why I need to have an open heart surgery 2 years ago. But a time after, the Lord may indicate, this is why. This is why this had to take place. And so we just honor him and worship him. And so that the life of the body now becomes our life. Because the life of the body is the life of God himself. For this life mingles with us to become the body of Christ. So, mingles, there's a hymn, isn't there? Mingle, mingle, hallelujah. And so there is needs to be a mingling of our created, redeemed, and regenerated human life. Then our life is able to be mingled, blended together to become the body of Christ. Okay, point B, concerning the consciousness of the body of Christ, we need to begin with the sense of the divine life within us. And so again, I'm emphasizing your personal relationship with the Lord. No one can sense the divine life within you. You know, I'm not going to examine you and say, okay, let me just look in your eyes and exercise the spirit and say, aha. Nothing like that. This is the sense of the divine life within you. And so simply ask the Lord, Lord, help me to recognize the sense of the divine life within me. I want to know what it is. This is not a small thing. It's not just I have eternal life, but there's the sense. This life is giving me a sense. And that sense is an indicator that there's something you need to say and do. It's not just that you know. And so, the consciousness of the body is related to our having the sense of the divine life within us. So I would suggest we just simply pray, Lord, strengthen me in the inner man. Train me to have the sense of the divine life within me. And when you have the sense, you may not finish a sentence that you're talking about. You realize, okay, just let it go. It sounds so simple, but actually the reason you stopped is because you sense the divine life within you and don't continue. Have you ever been online, you're ready to send a message, and somehow before pressing the button and send it, you just had the feeling to stop and consider. Then you went da 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 back to nothing. And you realized that was a smart thing to do. Because you send that one message to one person, it could be around the universe within 10 minutes, right? But this is related to an inner sense, not an outward government. One, this sense originates from the Spirit of God and from God's life in our spirit. So the sense, we're emphasizing this word, sense, it originates from the Spirit of God and from God's life in our spirit. So our spirit is the sense where the Spirit of God originates what is taking place inwardly. And I'm not going to be specific, but when I was alone, my wife had died, and I had even asked some brothers, please stop making suggestions. I have no idea what the Lord wants to do. But one day, just from within, a sense originated from the Spirit of God and from my spirit. And the Lord was saying, dear, we're both covered here. Lord, I want to see Tanya. That's how it started. But I didn't do it on my own. Because this is, to testify, this is so real. To pay attention to the sense inwardly in our spirit. Because there's the relationship between this sense and the consciousness of the body. We have to have this inner sense of life. Then first we will recognize this is the Spirit of God. And now you see, this is the sense of the body. Two, the divine life within has feelings. And our regeneration, our generated spirit, also has feelings. Well, what do we do with this? Feelings. The divine life within us has feelings. And our regenerated spirit has feelings. They're not disagreeing with each other. But this is why we need to have the sense of the inner life. The divine life, the feelings. Even at this very moment when I'm speaking to you, I'm not analyzing myself. But I need to be responsive to the feeling of the divine life within. What to say? How should it be said? How should we pray? Then our regenerated spirit also has feelings. Well, the two spirits are mingled together, but there are distinct feelings on both sides. But we need to pay attention to the feelings of our spirit. Well, what if you have the thought, I don't know. I know there's a feeling. I don't know what it is or what it came from. You and everybody else, okay? We're learning. So we just ask the Lord, Lord, what is the source of this feeling? Is it from you? Is it from my spirit? And sometimes we would pray like this, Lord, if this is just from my natural life, terminate it. If the source of this is my regenerated spirit and from you, I just am open vessel to it. So this sense is called the sense of life. And it is also the consciousness of the body of Christ. And so we're emphasizing the consciousness of the body of Christ. But we need to understand what consciousness of the body of Christ is. It's the sense of life deep within us. So all of us, and many of us at this very moment, have this kind of sense of life. And actually, the Lord wants to enlighten you to make you realize this sense of life is the consciousness of the body of Christ. So these two are interrelated. If we exercise this sense, it will cause us to be conscious of matters related to the body. This is an important point. So if we exercise this sense, the sense of life, it will cause us to be conscious of matters related to the body. Then we will somehow just be aware of matters related to the body. And again, the source of this is God Himself. And you just realize, because no matter where you are, locally, you're in a church in that place, but inwardly, you're in the universal organic body of Christ. And there's this sense that makes you conscious of matters related to the body. And then you become aware. And I'm not uplifting the sisters in any way, but very often they have the discernment before many of the brothers have done. And there should be an opportunity where they can inwardly pray, but not frequently, but every now and then some will come and say, Ron, I just need to share a feeling. I don't fully understand what's going on. Then I listen carefully, I realize this is from God. Let's pray together along this line. Five, if we cultivate this sense, it will enable us to detect problems in the body. Well, there's a dear brother that was helping us in a practical way. Now, right now he's in the hospital. I'm referring to this because some parts of our physical body are giving some feeling, some concern, that we need to pay attention to it. that why do I have this kind of feeling? And so we shouldn't just press it down, that we want to take care of our physical body. Well, just apply this principle to the inner sense of the body, that we're conscious of certain matters. Again, not to criticize, but to pray, but to supply, if necessary, to fight against the enemy, whatever it may be. If we cultivate this sense, it will enable us to detect problems in the body. I'm repeating that. And so there's the need. How can the body needs, how can they be taken care of if no one has a sense about it, if no one realizes about it? It's not for judgment. It's for loving concern. It's for shepherding. Whatever it is, there is pain, there is suffering there. How can I not have a deep concern for that part of the body? If we exercise this sense often, and if we love the Lord and care for the church, this sense will become the sense, the consciousness of the body. So we need to focus on this for a minute or two, because here's a definition of the subject. The consciousness of the body of Christ. If we exercise this sense often, and if we love the Lord and care for the church, this sense will become the sense of the consciousness of the body. So we need to exercise this mingled spirit often. And then also, if we love the Lord and care for the church. Care for the church. Not criticize the church. Not judge the church. Care for the church. Then this sense, something's going to take place. This sense will become the sense, the consciousness of the body. So the consciousness of the body is the deep sense within us, combined with the love of the Lord and our care. And so this is not anything in some kind of outward physical way. But you just have this deep inward realization. Lord, there's a section of the body is in pain. Lord, I bring this sense to you, this loving concern to you. And then the Lord, who is praying on the throne, he wants, this is in John 15, when his prayers become our prayers, then whatever we pray, he answers. And so the Lord is praying. He's the head of the body, so he's praying for this member of the body. But he also needs members of the body to join him in his prayer. I repeat again, John 15, 7. If my prayers abide in you, Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done. And so we need to be, let me put it this way. I'm just speaking now in a general way. I've been in many prayer meetings where there were many, many prayers that were not prayers. They weren't prayers. You might have heard me say not that long ago that Brother Lee was having a 2-week training with leading brothers and co-workers. This is way back in the 1980s. And then he asked everyone to come a half hour early to have a prayer meeting. And so he came toward the end of that half hour. And then before he began the message, he gave a lengthy word. It's in the book, The Experience, The Elder's Training, Book 2, Chapter 10. He said, I couldn't enter into your praying. He said, in the prayer meeting, your prayer shouldn't be more than two statements. Because this is a body matter. But I don't know what to do. I don't know what you can do in a prayer meeting when I would say 20% of the saints pray. And many of the prayers are long, self-produced prayers. I can just sit there until the atmosphere changes and the Lord's prayers become our prayers. And then when we release them, then the response is, well, it's marvelous. And so I just would hope in so many different places we'd be willing to learn the difference between self-made prayers, very good language, but no one else can follow. At the other time, or in a different time, this is a body matter. If I'm body consciousness, then this is going to be affect the prayer meeting. Keep on section C. Because of self-consideration and love for our particular work, our inner sense is suppressed. This shows that our sense of being in the body is not adequate and that we still remain in ourselves. Just consider this. Because of self-consideration and love for our particular work, our inner sense is suppressed. So the inner sense is the sense of the divine life. And the sense of the body, it's suppressed. This shows that our sense of being in the body is not adequate and that we still remain in ourselves. I'm just referring again to what I mentioned about that section in the book on the experience of life, that this particular matter still remains in ourselves. To put it this way, based upon Matthew 16, when will the self stop being the source of anything that we think, say, or do? This is some of the strongest words the Lord spoke during his time on the earth in Matthew 16. That we don't want the self to be the source of anything. We want the source to be the mingled spirit under the throne. So all of us need to be trained by the Lord in this matter. And we should just ask him, Lord, train me to have the sense in the body. Please make it adequate. I don't want to remain in myself. I mean, wouldn't that be a heartbreaking experience if you're standing before the judgment seat and the Lord would say, you spent your whole life remaining in yourself. Or someone else comes and says, well done, fellow slave. You paid the price to apply the cross to yourself that the divine life could flow out from you. Now I invite you to come to the wedding feast. Then point D, if we have the sense of the body, when others suffer or are blessed, we will identify with them and feel the same hardship or blessing. So, brothers and sisters, we all start from zero. None of us is better. There's none that is worse. But if we have the sense of the body, then when others suffer or are blessed, we identify with them and feel the same hardship or blessing. You can see how this is absolutely different from the self. That others suffer, you're identified with that. I participate in that. I stand together with this dear sister. Or this one is blessed. I'm not jealous. I'm not competing. Because if you are blessed, I'm also blessed. Amen. We will identify with them and feel the same hardship or blessing. And as we grow in life, and as we're brought step by step to maturity, then we will be able to sense the feeling, whether it's the pain, whether it's the joy that's in the body. We don't just examine it, just as we sit here. We are related to it, whether it's hardship or blessing. So maybe just a related matter concerning what's on the Lord's heart, that he really wants us to pray. We're nearing the end of this age, and the bride must make herself ready. In order for the bride to make herself ready, the body as an organism must be built up organically in a thorough way. This is perhaps the greatest need in the Lord's recovery, is the body growing in life until it's built up organically all over the earth. And then we see this in Ephesians chapter 4, that you have the gifts. These are apostles, prophets, others, training, supplying all the saints so that they will have the function of their portion of the ministry. So I'm repeating this again, and it won't be the last time either. And I was glad that some of you testified, but I want to emphasize this again as my bringing my portion to the end. I want to emphasize this. I know you heard it, but the Lord needs it. Work it in the depths of your being. You have a portion of the ministry that no one else has or will have. That is one reason why I want to set aside half an hour for there to be response from you. And we put this brother together in the beginning and many others that will complete the message. And to come to the microphone, please don't give your own particular theology or a message on a different matter. Just share something that touched you from this particular meeting. And that all of us shouldn't be passive, but we just, when someone is coming to the microphone, they will exercise their spirit, but on our side, we will draw out their spirit. Because we must nullify this particular aspect of Christianity. We cannot have two kind of groups, the preachers and the ordinary people. There's no such thing. We are all members of the body. We have a portion that no other member has. And so I just appeal to you, after a brother gives the first confirming word, then the brothers will open the way for you to come to the microphone. And just let the Lord flow, because we're in this together. Let's build up the body of Christ so that the bride will make herself ready. Okay. I'll go sit down, and the brother will come to the microphone and share.